Ready for another quality podcast?
Okay, here we go.
All thanks to Endeavour Homes, builders of quality. And for premium inclusions you can afford, search the Foundation Series by Endeavour Homes. This is the Pete and Kimber Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Hello. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to you.
Oh, you too,
mate,
bud.
Little holiday. You enjoy your holiday?
I had a great holiday.
It's good.
Yeah, it was a nice break. We had 2 weeks off. Mm. What was your highlight?
Oh, highlight was... this was beautiful. It was the trifecta. I had the Fremantle Dockers into WrestleMania night one, into WrestleMania night two, both of which were on the mornings of those mornings while the kids were asleep because it's over in the US. And WrestleMania night two had probably the greatest, the greatest like headline match in the history of wrestling ever. Just wow. Like, just absolute wows. What a holiday.
This morning I saw you run into Adam in the office and you went, "Hey, dude, we have to talk WrestleMania." And I wish that you'd had a chance to get that off your chest, because I can feel that you want to do it now.
It was huge. But the problem is, like, for our radio show, A, if I brought up WrestleMania, our boss would kick me in the backside.
Yep.
And it's Rami. And B, it happened a week ago now, so it's probably old news.
But... well, let's move on then. What was the low light? Anything? That's good, because it's hard to think of something.
I got the chance to sleep in, and so I was just happy. Like, I suppose if there was a low light, we had a kitchen renovation going on at the time.
Oh, that's terrible. So you had workmen in your house, and you had...
we were locked down. Oh. You know what I mean? So, like, we couldn't really do anything.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's all right. What about you? Highlight?
Oh, highlight, went to Ledge Point and had a beautiful time at the beach there. Stunning.
Lovely.
Loved it. Low light, went to my mum's house on Easter Monday and parked out the front, and her neighbour left their driveway and didn't see my car and drove into my car.
Oh, how'd you know it was the neighbour?
Because they hit me on the side. And there's not many cars that sort of T-bone you in the driver's door.
Yeah.
When you're driving or when you're parked in a car park.
Did they tell you?
Eventually.
Oh. You had to get it out of them, didn't you?
I saw it on Dad's security cameras.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. That says it
so
all.
That's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But, you know, no one was hurt, and the car is still drivable. It's just that when I drive, it sounds like I've left my door open.
Yeah, of course, because your door's T-boned in.
That's all right. What's on the podcast?
I'm going to start calling you T-bone.
That makes me sound so tough.
T-bone.
T-bone. I am not what you expect when you go, "My friend T-bone's coming." When I'm coming over the party, you're like, "Oh, T-bone's invited." You're not expecting me to walk in.
I don't know.
You're not.
See you around that chocolate platter.
On the podcast, we chatted with Nelson Aspin, our Hollywood reporter, about Rebel Wilson's book and also the death of O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
And some incredible personal stories from Nelson. I don't think he likes OJ.
No, I think you're right.
I don't think he was subtle about that.
I've never heard him go off like that about anything.
Yeah.
Bluey's real estate agent, Rove McManus.
Everyone's going into real estate, aren't they?
Yeah, they
even
are.
Rove.
He plays Bucky. So Bucky on the show. I didn't get a chance to ask him how much they, because there's a sale that happens. Well, I'm not going to give too much away, but there's a sale that happens.
Right.
I just didn't get a chance to ask him how much the house sold.
Did they
for.
Sell one of the kids?
No.
Oh.
No, they didn't sell one of the kids.
I thought they finally like.
Nah, both kids are there.
Yeah, okay.
They're both still there. Yeah. Yep.
We played the Wheel of Inappropriate Questions, where we have to answer whatever question is on the wheel. That was fun.
We found out what radio station you listened to while you were away.
Hey, the boss doesn't know that yet.
That's a ripper.
He might be unhappy I said it out loud. We talk to people who throw drinks in other people's faces. I can't believe how many people came out of the woodwork for that.
Mm-hmm.
We chatted about Prince Andrew, the movie that is on Netflix called Scoop.
Yep.
Great performances about that interview that he did in 2019 on the BBC, which he should never have done.
No, God, no. And the actor that you won't believe plays Prince Andrew.
So good.
I still can't get over that photo. That's wild.
You talked about finding small dead children from the 1800s in the walls of houses.
Yeah, double view, hey?
That was
crazy.
And we played Yay or Nay with Rami.
Yay!
Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, ta-ta.
It's nice to be back.
Now, Rebel Wilson's book, Rebel Rising, we're going to take you inside Hollywood right now with Nelson Aspin, because there's this ongoing war between her, Sacha Baron Cohen, all the accusations, and now Sacha Baron Cohen and his wife, Isla Fisher. They've split as well, and now Rebel Wilson's book has been held off. All of this stuff, let's get to it. Nelson Aspin, good morning, mate.
Good morning, my friends. I miss Perth. How's everybody doing?
Oh, we miss you too. Although you don't miss Pete as much, because I see that you two have been on the gram messaging each other over the weekend.
He looks even better on social media.
Thank you, Nelson. It's delighting. Yeah. Mate, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for joining us. Look, we're going to start with the Rebel Wilson stuff. And just really quickly to catch everybody up.
British actor Sacha Baron Cohen has broken his silence after being accused of behaving poorly towards Rebel Wilson on set. Rebel revealed that Sasha is the Hollywood star who's been sending her threats to stop her from publishing her upcoming memoir, Rebel Rising.
Now, we do know that that upcoming memoir has actually been pushed back with regards to its release date, and no update as to when it will be released here in Australia. Nelson, what's the latest there?
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy to me that it has been pushed back in Australia. It released here in the States April 2nd. It's doing very well by Amazon standards. It's in the top 2,000 of books. Do you know how many books are out there? None of my books are in the top 2,000. It's number 119 of all memoirs. And what's most surprising and impressive to me is that in the customer reviews, which are all important because it affects the algorithms, she's got 4.3 out of 5 star ratings. So people are loving this book. It's easy to say, oh, there's a celebrity autobiography, it's a tell-all, it's garbage, it's trash, it's salacious, it's this, that. Sacha Baron Cohen would have you believe it's nothing. It's all lies, lies, lies. It's sensationalism. But it's doing very well, and it's being, I don't know how the critics are receiving it, but the readers are receiving it well. And ultimately, that's who you want to please. That's who's buying the book.
Well, and Sasha's not going to have cheap lawyers on the case. Surely he's got some heavy hitters there that are going to stop this from taking place if it's going to, you know, because I guess anyone could write a book about anyone if that, and it would be defamation if you can't prove it.
Yeah, everybody's all lawyered up at all times. And it's interesting you bring in that aspect of it, because now, Sasha and Isla Fisher, the gorgeous, the talented, I adore her. Apparently, Rebel Wilson did too at one point. They announced their shock split after, you know, 2 decades together, over 13, 14 years of marriage, making it all look very friendly. But that's the interesting wrinkle here, is what's the legal aspect? What is the timing of their announcement of their split? Rebel denies that she had anything to do with it, but it is interesting timing, and maybe they felt forced to accelerate things. Apparently, Isla, if rumor is correct, had been talking to divorce lawyers as long as 2 years ago, but maybe with the book coming out, they needed to accelerate that. I don't know how that affects Australian release, but it's out in America. It's doing well. Nobody's particularly talking about it, but nobody, you know, we got other problems over here. Trust me. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I thought it was interesting too, because I believe the case is that in the US that you have to be separated for a minimum of 6 months to 2 years in order to file for divorce. And Isla, in her statement, said that they have filed. So that would suggest that it happened before any of the Rebel stuff came out.
I'm sure, you know, these things don't just happen. Yeah. I'm sure they're splitting up. it all unfolded long ago. Let's just assume that they have some sort of ironclad prenuptial agreement, as anyone anywhere should have, let alone show business. And they have been together a long time. And, you know, they've always been known for being so different. It's an odd match. I mean, putting Sasha with anyone would be an odd match, let alone this beautiful, twinkling, talented.
We get it.
Woman.
You love Isla.
Yeah.
I do.
Sorry to get a little bit personal here, Nelson, but we know that You've got a massive connection with O.J. Simpson we want to dive into here. So Nelson Aspin, our Hollywood reporter, he's on the phone right now. O.J. Simpson passed away surrounded by family and friends. Now, is this right, Nelson? They all had to sign NDAs basically swearing to secrecy that they were by his side before he passed?
I would assume that is absolutely correct because O.J. Simpson did nothing without thinking about how it would affect him personally. That was his MO always. I have known OJ and his circle since the early 90s when I was living in Hollywood, and I was working at the very famous Mezzaluna restaurant, which was the scene of the whole episode of the double murder of which he was accused and unbelievably but ultimately acquitted. And I worked there, and my cousin, who was the manager of the restaurant, was his ex-wife's boyfriend. So we were socially very involved with Nicole and the whole entourage. And we knew that O.J. Simpson, for all his charm and sex appeal, was an erratic and intimidating and dangerous character. I'm not saying he did it, although I believe he did. The jury found him not guilty. However, the civil trial, he was found unanimously guilty by the jury and sentenced to pay over $30 million in restitutions that he never met. So I don't know. He was addicted to fame then. He was addicted to fame as late as a few weeks before his death, when he was denying that he was in hospice care, when he was trying to generate attention during the Super Bowl. It's a controversial death. He changed the course of popular culture. He changed the way we watch television. He changed the content of television. All the daytime programming went off the air when his trial was on, and it never recovered. So yeah. He was responsible for a great many things, very few of them good.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. We were just talking yesterday on the phone to each other, me and Pete, talking about how, like, young people today might not even know the O.J. Simpson story, and it's bringing everything back to light, and people are now investigating it again themselves out of interest. I mean, 95 million people watched that car chase. That's it.
I said to someone the other day that, you know, the kids now, or not even kids, young people, people that didn't experience the incident when it happened, they look at this as history. Those of us that remember it don't remember it as history. We remember it as something that just happened. And Caitlyn Jenner, who back then was Bruce Jenner and a very close social contact of O.J. Simpson, of the Kardashians, the whole Beverly Hills bunch. But even Caitlyn Jenner's response was good riddance. That O.J. was the most narcissistic and egocentric expletive that she had remembered seeing. So I mean, it's complicated. And yes, at the end of the day, he leaves behind four children who are mourning the loss of their father. But it was an interesting time and just goes to show you that fame can really help or hinder. A lot of people believe that he only got off because he was famous. Certainly his fame and charisma got him a lot of benefits, and that may have been the ultimate one.
Well, Nelson, I mean, like, you look at the case, the glove. I mean, for those of you who don't know, the fact that he was allowed to put the glove on that was submitted as evidence in the case, but his lawyer somehow managed to be able to get him to put a glove over another glove to show that the glove didn't fit, so it couldn't have been him. Like, just stuff
like...
This
is when your acting skills... You needed your acting skills. And of course, he was an actor. He wasn't just an athlete. He wasn't just a pitch man. He wasn't just a sex symbol. He was also an actor. And it really didn't take a great deal of acting to pretend to struggle with the glove. That's another interesting thing, because the whole prosecution's case rested and was solid on DNA evidence. And in today's world, you would never have a witness try on a bloody glove. It would taint the DNA evidence. It just wouldn't happen. These are the lessons we have learned since then. It was a different time. It was a different world. We didn't even have the internet. We had to watch TV every day. Whatever. Wherever he is now, His legacy is not as good as he would have wished.
Well, you're right. Without streaming, that's why 95 million people were watching the slowest car chase we've ever seen.
The white Ford Bronco. Right.
Well, and my cousin was in hiding while all that was going on, and we were all glued to our TV screens. My concern was my cousin, Nicole's boyfriend, because we thought he's coming for Keith.
For him, yeah.
That's where he's headed. And Keith was, meanwhile, with Nicole's family. They were all protected and basically on lockdown because we didn't know where OJ was going. And I'm watching the television with 95 million other people going, please don't hurt my cousin. Please don't come for me. My mother was convinced they were coming for me because I worked at the restaurant. You know, Ron Goldman, the other victim in the double murder trial, was a waiter at the restaurant who was just there to return a forgotten pair of eyeglasses. Nicole's mother had left her eyeglasses behind at the restaurant. She lived a block from the restaurant. Any one of us would have driven by to drop off the eyeglasses. The fragility of life and whoever, and I'm saying whoever in air quotes, whoever killed them, it was brutal. It was brutal, too brutal to talk about on the radio.
Wow.
Nelson Aspin, live from New York City. And the new book, Nelson's new book, if you want to grab it, is Dancing Between the Raindrops. It's out now and you can get it here in Australia.
Yeah, and Nelson,
yeah,
I want you,
you
to know, I did buy dinner at Nelson's, so I have got one of your books.
You've got six to go. One down, six to go, baby.
The new Bluey episode, Kimber. The 30-minute episode.
Look, the most I know about Bluey is what I've learned from you and your kids. But I must say, I was looking at Reddit on the weekend and someone put up a post saying, are you an adult that watches Bluey and doesn't have any kids? And there were a series of people who said, absolutely, I watch it because it's really wholesome. One person even said, yeah, I watch it because I think it's our duty to reparent ourselves. So you must be getting something out of it.
Well, what was amazing with this episode in particular, just on that point, was that there were so many themes through the episode where it felt like it was actually made for adults, like the mums and dads watching rather than the kids. Now, as part of the episode, it's called The Sign. The Bluey house is up for sale. There's a big sign on the front, right? And they go through all the motions of dealing with all of that, right? I won't give away too much about what happens. But the real estate agent is played by Rove McManus. And he does such a good job. Take a listen to this.
Banditas, the big B, Bandito.
Hey, Bucky. How you going, mate?
You're going to love this place.
Oh, it doesn't have a pool?
Oh, no, you won't need one. Queensland summers aren't that hot. Banditas! Good news. They want to buy the house.
What?
I mean, they really wanted a pool, but...
Can I call you back later?
Yeah, share the good news with the fam.
Rove joins us on the show now. Good morning to you, Bucky.
Good morning. How are we?
Rove, who gets you into that extra Australian accent? You do it a little bit more.
I know, you got to go right up the nose is the first bit.
Yep.
You got to get right up there because it's very and you're up in Queensland as well. So you know, and then just every so often just hold on to the end of your sentences.
Now I've got to ask you a couple of questions about the episode, mate, because there were a few things where I was like, okay, hang on a sec. What's going on here? What sort of weird dimension are we in when there's only one couple that rocks up to the home open in 2024 for one and has the audacity, the audacity to start negotiating over a pool?
That's right. And then, you know, are they happy to lose a deposit if they change their mind? Like, who knows? But I like that that's your big question, not the talking dogs or why is everyone else naked in the show, but mine's wearing a shirt and tie?
Actually, that's a great point. Oh. Even at the wedding.
Why
even at the wedding,
you?
Everybody was naked.
No pants, though. He still doesn't wear pants.
It's from that terrible tattoo that Bucky got when he was 18 and didn't think it through, and now he's got to wear a shirt everywhere.
No, it's like a weird thing. It's got shaved. It's shaved into his back too. So
now,
weird,
mate. Have you? You've obviously watched the episode, right? Did it bring you to tears? It brought me to tears.
Yeah, there's certainly a couple of moments where it grabs you. I obviously knew what was coming, where the episode was going, and which was also part of the lead up to it. So you know, when everyone was saying, is this it? Is it the end and it's your fault? I knew that was about to happen from the moment I read the script and went, oh my God, they're selling the house. Oh, and I'm the guy selling the house. Well, this is going to go down well. But it still does catch you. It's a beautiful show that there's humor and there's great relatable family stuff in there, but at its core, it has heart. And when that gets you, oh boy, watch out.
Is Bluey going to stand the test of time? It's like you could watch back old Wiggles over and over and over, but if Bluey is so contemporary and modern, like, will it still be something they're watching in 10 years if they don't do new eps?
It's a good question. I think they will. I think some of the foundation of it, there's a lot of stuff that's like there's an episode about, you know, the grandpa coming up with his own app on a phone, like that. Those sorts of ones in the future maybe could get lost on a generation. But the dad pretending his arm is an emu called Sean, I mean, that's never going to go out of style.
Now, you can confirm for us right here, this isn't the end of Bluey, right? I mean, I won't give away anything with regards to how the episode ends, because there are parents listening to this who haven't had a chance to watch, who are getting home as soon as they can to be able to check this out. But it's not the end, right? There's more to come.
No, I think I certainly can't say it, but I know just have come out and just calmed everyone's nerves to say, yes, this isn't the end of Bluey. But where to next from here, and especially if you haven't seen the episode yet, I don't want to be spoiling anything for anybody. But
that's okay. As soon as you started giving away something that sounded dodge, the phone started cutting out. Like, they knew you were being cut. It got really sketchy in there for a bit.
Much like I have a little chip in my neck that the producers put in there, and if I stray too far in plot spoilers, they do zap me.
Hey, Rove McManus on the phone with us right now. He plays Bucky on the latest episode of Bluey. Mate, just before we let you go, I just got to ask you quickly, what's the story between you and your family and Pink's family? There was that story when Pink was here in WA and she was playing Optus Stadium and you guys were all out on a boat in the Swan River. Is this legacy stuff back to Rove Live days?
Yeah, I've known Pink for 20 years or something. We've been friends. So, yeah, just hanging out when we're in town. We just get the families together when we can, which is very rare. So it was just nice to get the chance to do it.
That would have been so good to know before we sent our street man Sam out to the hotel where we thought Pink was staying with, like, a megaphone and signs, and we got a Pink-branded car that Joanne in Perth drives where it's got Pink's face all over the convertible, and drove around looking for her for hours. And then we found out that the next day you were on the boat with her and she wasn't even at the hotel.
She just come to my place. Let's just do that.
Unreal. All right, mate. Nice to catch up with you, Rove. Thanks for jumping on this morning. Looking forward to seeing more Bucky on the show.
Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
Now, let us get down to business.
Wheel of Inappropriate Questions.
I see the wheel.
I'm worried about the wheel of inappropriate questions this morning, because this wheel, we spin it, we have to answer whatever question is on there, and I feel like the team have all had 2 weeks to think of really inappropriate questions, and it's about to land on us. We both do one each. Do you want to go first?
I'll answer the first question?
Yeah.
Yeah, go all on.
Let's give
go
it a
on.
Spin, okay?
You had to play pop quiz. I'll do this. Go on.
That was a short spin, sorry.
It was a very short spin.
It's number 6.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, look.
Oh, that's a 6.
Yeah.
That looks like a 5 that ended up becoming a 6 at one point.
Okay. Pete, do you feel guilty knowing you have the most amount of holidays in the office and you do the least amount of work?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I was having a conversation with somebody over the weekend when they were talking about how I'm probably the best male announcer in the country. And
who was that person you were talking to? Your mum?
Mike? No, that's Mike, my mortgage broker. God. And we were having a good old chat about this, and he goes, "You deserve it." He said, "You deserve it. Nobody sees the 20 years that you had to put in to get to where you are."
Do you know what my mortgage broker said to me?
What?
Is that all you get paid? So There might be some discrepancy here.
What's that clause in our contract that says we can't reveal what we're paid to each other?
Okay. Am I going to do a...
Yes.
So you don't feel guilty anyway, yep. is what you're saying.
Rami's saying that... No, I don't feel guilty because I've done 20 years of work to put myself into this position, so I'll take it. And God knows, so at some point I'm going to get the tap on the shoulder and it'll all be over.
Yeah, of course it is.
Is this for you?
This isn't me.
This is for you now.
This is number five.
Apparently we're doing four questions, by the way. We're doing a question each. Oh, you have to read out your own question.
Kimber.
What?
Do you feel guilty knowing you have the most amount of holidays in the office and you do the least amount of work?
This is a stitcher.
Hang on, I'm looking at others. Wait, let me look at number four. Oh, no, there's different ones.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you've just somehow miraculously landed on two that are the same.
Yeah,
that's
there's
amazing.
A different one. Do you want this one?
Yeah, no. You answer that question as well. Thank you very much.
Did you listen to other radio stations over the break? And what were your honest thoughts?
Hang on, you haven't answered your question.
Oh,
do
no.
Do you feel guilty or not?
No, I don't feel guilty.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
I don't take child leave. I don't leave at 3 p.m. to go pick up my kids. I don't feel guilty at all.
All right, mate. Little drive-by on the way through.
Did you listen to other stations over the break? I did.
Yeah, who did you listen to?
Well, I listened to the Hit Network. I heard Alan and Carly, our regional show.
Please. Nobody wants to listen to hear you say, yes, I listen to the people that are in our network.
Can I honestly say the other station that I listened to?
Who? Rami?
Can I say it, Rami?
Yeah.
And then say what? Sorry, I can't hear.
Can I say the other radio station that I listened to?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
88.5, The Valley Comes Alive.
You've told me about this mob before.
It's Ellenbrook Radio. It's a community. I shouldn't be giving them a plug, but they're good people.
Give them a plug.
It's a community station in Ellenbrook.
Tell us about some of the shows that are on there.
Their music is just whack and I love it.
Yeah?
You never know what you're going to get. It's all over the shop for all the best reasons.
What do you mean? Like all over the shop? Is it like in one breath?
Because they'll play something from the 1940s.
Yeah, and then the next break will be Nuts on Your Chin by Eazy-E.
Like, yeah. Yes. But they're all volunteering out there and they're doing a lovely job.
Good on them.
So all the best to you guys.
Okay. So was that your question? You answered that question.
Yeah.
All right. You want to spin me another one? Apparently we're going to do two each.
No, I'm not even going to spin it because I don't trust them. I'm just going to pick.
You're just going to pick
one, two or three.
Give us two. Let's go straight down the middle. Give us number two.
How many times did you do your taxes over the holidays?
Oh, please.
Now, do your taxes is obviously a euphemism for something far dirtier.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did you do your taxes over the holidays, Pete?
My pen's been full of ink for how long?
I don't know. How old's your kid?
How old's
your last kid?
Ollie's three. It'll be about 3 years before the ATO comes knocking, isn't it? Cassie, who's one of our Mix fam, who we had to get on after she got in touch over the weekend. Good morning to you, Cass.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
We're good. Cassie, you've mentioned something to us that it's got Pete and I talking, really, because we think it's a pretty bold move, what you have done, and we feel like, I say bold, it's more like Bold and the Beautiful. This is from TV soaps. You are a cereal drink thrower. You have thrown your drink over somebody.
Yes. Well, just to declare, I watched a few episodes of Geordie Shore growing up, or should I say a few seasons, so that really kind of, you know, sets the tone for some of these stories.
How big are your lips, Cassie? How big are your lips?
Well, I've got a couple of meals over the years, but it's gone back more natural these days.
Cassie, what kind of circumstance do you have to be in to consider throwing your drink over somebody?
Okay, so to, you know, set the tone, we're having a few drinks with some girlfriends at OBH, a classic, on the weekend. And, you know, me and my friend are sitting down, minding our own business, pretty deep into the night at this point. And this guy kind of comes over to us and just ends up in me kind of swirling my drink on him. And I must admit, I cannot remember for the life of me what he actually said. But I do remember it was some snarky comment and he, you know, well deserved it, which was confirmed later by a girl who kind of walked past me in the crowd who said, oh, yeah, he definitely deserved that. So,
What did she tell you? What, if you can't quite remember, did that girl in the crowd tell you what he said?
No, she didn't tell me. I just like...
just that it was deserved.
You know, had a moment with her and like agreed and I just kept going on with my night. You know what it's like when you have had a few drinks.
Yeah, but, sure. See, this is there's an inspiration here in that you've had a bit too much to drink. So you might have, your instinct might have to throw the drink been a bit
the
off.
Fight or flight instincts. You
but
know,
you have done this again since.
Yeah, so the first story actually, a bit of a... serial thrower or sweller, I say, is with my ex-partner, who is an ex for a reason, obviously. Uh-huh. And, you know, we're at a party and it's pretty late at night and he rocks up. And I think I was playing some beer pong at the time and I see him walk in and then he goes and says hello to every single person in the room and he's taking like 15 minutes before even coming and saying hello to me, his girlfriend at the time, and it just got me fuming. I'm like sitting there watching him, and I just swirled my drink on him.
That's not worth a drink throw. Come on, Cass. Are you serious? He goes and says hello to a few of his mates and whatnot, and then he can see you anytime for a bit of but that's gee whiz.
I reckon this is on purpose. I think he was winding me up, I think.
Okay. I think you're one of few, though. Like, I think to throw a drink on somebody, it has to be pretty provoked. Like, yeah. I don't know many people who do it. I know a girlfriend of mine did it as her bit of a mic drop moment because the day before Valentine's, she found out her boyfriend was cheating on her. And we found out through a series of text messages. And so she wrote a Valentine's card to him that said, "Happy Valentine's. It's been so wonderful dating you over the last 18 months and getting to know you more. It's a shame you threw it all away for insert her name," right? And then she invites her boyfriend out for a drink for cocktails. And on Valentine's night, he buys her a cocktail. And she said, "The cocktail took forever to make." She's waiting to do the mic drop moment. So they have the cocktails. They sit down. She gives him the Valentine's card. He says, "Oh, thanks so much." Opens it up. She waits for his jaw to drop and then he looks at her and she just throws the drink, the cocktail in his face and walks out.
Oh, my God.
That's well executed.
Restaurant full of people?
Yeah, like in a bar, popular bar
in Melbourne. It's got to be in front of a lot of people too. all right, Cass, hey, thanks for letting us know.
Cheers.
Taking the call this morning.
Well, you know who agrees with Cassie.
Rebecca in Maylands does. Yeah. Right. Hey, Beck.
Rebecca.
Hello, Beck.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Beck. Hi. No, it's a busy day, but tell us, have you thrown a drink at someone?
Look, I've thrown a few, I must admit.
A few?
Especially after I heard Cassie call, I thought I'd better call up and support her because, you know, I grew up watching Jersey Shore, not Geordie. So maybe I'm a bit inspired by that one.
Wow. My goodness, what's going to happen if you listen to rap music? I mean, honestly.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Combine the two and then... Here I am.
What's the bar for you? Like, I mean, why have these people received drinks in the face?
Look, to be completely fair, I was 18, 19, freshly started going out, and it was always to do with men being inappropriate. Mm. If I ever got inappropriately touched or, you know, groped as I was walking by, that's when I thought it was 100% called for. Obviously, it's followed up with a lot more than that because a drink throw isn't enough when it comes to things like that.
Is it followed up with a, "You owe me $22 for the drink that I had to throw at you"?
No, it's actually followed up with getting him kicked out of the venue because that's what they deserve.
Yeah,
nice.
When I was working at the Dean, we'd look out for that. We'd look out for the guys who were getting drinks thrown at them. Out they'd go. See you later.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they stand out.
Especially when you're in a crowd, they think they can get away with it sneakily walking past, but not when I've got a full drink in my hand.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Good one.
Back
all
in
right.
her in. Cassie and Rebecca are in the same team.
Tony and Morley, you had a drink thrown at you.
I did. Well, actually, I orchestrated a drink to get thrown at me. So
what happened?
You know, one of those moments where you shoot your shot and you ask out the really hot chick. So I did that. And she said yes. And I thought, oh, how the hell am I going to pull this off? So my mate D, who hung out with a lot of good looking chicks, I'm like, right, I've got an idea. This is 20 years ago. I'm 40 now. This is like 19.
Yeah.
I said, get your really hot mate Lisa to throw a drink in my face and go, "You never call me back." It was like, you know, that'll make me look at least half decent that someone quite hot, you know? Anyway, no offense, but the prick stitches me up with six more, one after the other. Bang, 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 bang. So I'm sitting there covered in about six different types of liquor, like Twizzle sticks, fruit, like cocktail stuff. Like, I look like a fruit bowl.
Yeah.
And she thought it was absolutely hilarious that I went to such effort. He's pissing himself laughing at the bar because he's giving me the nod like it's on. I'm like, okay, cool, this is it. And I'll be like, oh, I don't know, you know. Anyway, I'm sort of sitting there shocked, dazed, confused, sticky, much like after a night out. And with the wrong girl. And, yeah, next thing you know, it was on for a while. So, yeah, it worked, but it was...
Oh my God. I don't know what's worse, like having that many drinks thrown at you or thinking that that approach would work.
Well, it did.
Like, I don't find that attractive.
It's 20 years ago,
yeah.
right in the thick of rom-com movie style, you know, everything was rom-com. I'm thinking, this will work. This will do the trick.
Well, it's better than Geordie Shore.
It actually worked. Yeah. Tony, nice work.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, mate.
Pete and Kimber.
Okay, hit me up about this Netflix show about Prince Andrew's scoop. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but you caught it over the holidays.
Yeah, it's a film about the BBC interview that Prince Andrew did in 2019 with the Newsnight BBC interview with Emily Maitlis was the journo who was with him who did the interview. But the story is about Sam McAllister, who's the producer who managed to secure the interview to lock him in.
I mean, big get, right?
It was massive because it was so hard to get a royal to do that, particularly when Prince Andrew was stuck in the middle of a scandal because it had just come out that he's buddy-buddy with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And there was a lot of sordid things that apparently went on at that house.
Oh, and the island, the photograph.
Right? And the photograph with Virginia Roberts and all of that. And, you know, it was a terrible idea for Prince Andrew to do a TV interview.
Yeah, so this is one of those things where you were watching it going, what were they all thinking?
Oh,
what were they honestly thinking, putting him in front of the camera going, here you go, do an interview about everything that's happening at the moment? It made no sense.
And this is a film that, because it's the behind the scenes, it's like, I don't know how much of it is true. I don't know how much of it is entirely accurate, but they do a beautiful job of putting it together. And they do, it's he's played by Rufus Sewell, which is surprising. So Rufus Sewell, he was in A Knight's Tale, The Illusionist. He's he's an attractive actor.
He's the European-looking guy that always plays a villain.
Yeah, he's usually the villain. But he's put on a bit of weight. They've aged him a bit, and the makeup is sensational.
Hang on.
We watched the whole film looking for Rufus Sewell and got to the end and went, why didn't we see him? And then realised he's Prince Andrew.
Oh, my God. He looks amazing as Prince Andrew.
It's so good.
What the hell?
And he has the voice. He has everything. So I don't know if you remember, Prince Andrew was known for having a bit of a teddy bear collection.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit strange that he kept so many.
Fetish?
Well, exactly. Exactly. Mm. And there's a scene in there where one of the maids puts one of his teddies in the wrong location and they highlight it in the film.
How many times?
I'm sorry.
Where does he go? Simple question. Where does he go? He's a marsupial. Roo, as in Kanga. Put them together. What do you get?
Roo Kanga.
Oh, go away. Go away!
But he sounds like Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
And Gillian Anderson plays Emily Maitlis, the interviewer. She does an incredible job as well.
I wonder if you have any sense of guilt, regret, or shame about any of your behaviour in your friendship with Epstein.
Oh my God, Gillian Anderson. The X-Files.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a fantastic actor.
She's so good.
But it was a really interesting sort of, it felt like an expose because it was so beautifully done and seeing behind the scenes what they were up to, like prepping him for the interview, right? All of his people and his staff going, you can't stuff this up. Don't you dare go on there and say the wrong thing. And so they were rehearsing him in the background to make sure that he did a good job.
I don't believe I was ever there. That I ever even went upstairs in that house.
You don't recollect, Your Royal Highness?
Yes, of course. As I say, I have no recollection of ever having been there or even meeting that woman.
Miss Roberts, please don't ever say that woman, ever.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I understand this is difficult.
It was... It's really fascinating. The performances are amazing and it just made me do... I went back and I watched the original Newsnight Hartley interview again.
Yeah.
And you could almost watch them screen, like side screen, and they'd be matching.
It just makes you sick, doesn't it? I mean, listening to, in particular, that the way that they're prepping him. Just the way that they get around the questions to try and avoid any sort of form of guilt. Just,
The whole thing makes your skin crawl, but I also, you know, I loved it because that whole background producer thing and how, you know, it made me see what Kerrod and Rami have to do when they have to prep us all the time.
I want to hear from you this morning about what you found during the reno.
Tell me about these suitcases you found in the attic.
Yes. So here's the thing. We're in a house now. The house is about 30-odd years old, 40-odd years thereabouts. We're doing the renos. Electrician's gone up into the ceiling, found all of these old suitcases, come back down, told us about it. And then, like, we were speculating, oh, my goodness, like, what could be in these suitcases? There could be cash. There could be bodies. There could be just any sorts of crazy random things inside these suitcases.
Yeah.
Guess what was in them? They were like from the 70s and stuff, right?
Old hats.
Nothing. They were empty. All of them were empty.
They were just storing them and forgot.
Yep, crap, just empty suitcases.
But, you know, when people do renos, they'll be like, oh, we ripped the wall off to, you know, change this part of the kitchen and we found this weird doll in the wall and we don't know what to do with it. And I'm like, put it back.
Yeah.
Any time I hear of people doing renos and they find something a little bit strange in a place where they wouldn't expect it, I feel like it's spooked and you need to put it back. I feel like if you take it out, something's going to happen.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing, right? Just on that, went looking, went Googling, stumbled on some renovation finds that are on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Take a listen to some of the finds people have found in houses doing their renos.
Some Illinois homeowners were shocked to find a tunnel under their house earlier this year. Gary and Beth Matchins made the discovery when their sidewalk started to buckle. Construction workers in San Francisco unexpectedly found a small coffin when they were remodeling a house. Inside were the remains of a little girl from the 1800s, and her body had been well preserved. And a woman knew something was lurking behind the mirror in her bathroom. But what? So one day she pulled the mirror off the wall and discovered there was no wall behind it. What she found was an empty apartment. It's a good thing no one was living there.
Wild.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely wild.
And that commentary really gave us everything we needed.
It's classic TikTok.
Wow.
A body.
From the 1800s?
Yeah, a body. Yep.
I suppose you can't put that one back. That feels like something you should report.
Maybe you should be putting that one back. For the tiny little girl, that's some scary horror stuff there. We want to know, what did you find during the reno? I'm hearing a lot from mates of mine who are in the tradies at the moment. The renos are all the thing throughout Perth. Right is very second. Everybody's getting their stuff renovated, their houses. A lot of old houses are being bought. They're getting them updated. There's got to be some stuff that you found out there. Maybe you've dug up the backyard because you're putting in a pool and you found a chest or something, or I don't know. There's got to be some stuff that you've found while you're renovating your house.
I want to hear something great or something equally terrifying and spooky that you should put back.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned this because I've got a little something here for you.
Okay?
All right, crap stories, get the shovel.
Oh.
Okay. So just a heads up, the shovel's here.
Tom in Warnborough, what have you found?
I found a Japanese sword from World War II.
Ooh.
And also a .22 rifle they used to use with the bolt action and the,
Did you ever
hand that in the amnesty?
Oh, God.
No way.
Did you go and get that sword valued?
I tried to, but no one could give me a value on it.
I'll give you a value.
Okay, how much you want?
$20.
For sure, that's it.
It's not the kind of thing that you can take on Qantas to go and take to Japan and get a more qualified opinion on, is it?
Not until we try, anyway. Alan in Kootenup. G'day, mate.
Yes.
What did you find in the home reno?
I jackhammered all the chip tiles off the floor and replaced them all because there was a few damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So that was hard work. So then I turned around and an exhaust fan in the ensuite packed it in. So I get up there to put a new exhaust fan and find out in the roof there's boxes of tiles left over from when the house was built.
That's why I've got this shovel ready.
No, but I can understand that.
Boxes of tiles.
Yeah, because he had all the tiles that he just broke up. He could have just taken three from the roof and replaced it, but he's done his whole floor.
It's riveting.
Dude.
Lisa in Swanview.
I know why. You're trying to get to Lisa quickly.
I'll need to get to Lisa.
Because Lisa was the question about whether or not we can say this on air.
Are you the word with? Are you the D word, Lisa? We're not allowed to say the D word because there's kids in cars listening.
Yeah.
I don't know if we are. We didn't get confirmation from Rami.
Okay, all right. Apparently, no, he's just buzzed in my ear. He said she knows what to say, which means that she's been told to say something
coached.
Else.
You've been coached, Lisa, to say something else. All right, tell us what you found in the reno.
He smashed apart our bathroom, and it was one of the older style houses with no, like, proper vanity. It was just a bench with a little alcove, and you could see the sink underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Smashed it apart, and hidden in a little alcove was some adult toys.
Wow, someone had those stashed. Do you know who the previous owner was of the home?
Yeah, it was a little 90-year-old woman who lived by herself.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Hello.
We didn't forget about you, Rami.
Thank you.
We missed you.
I missed you guys too. Well, kind of. Well, I had a break. I also had a break.
We understand that everyone needs a break from us. We're not unreasonable people. Yeah, like, we get it.
Clearly it went well because Kara's not here today.
He needs an extra from me. Anyway, A and A, got three topics here for you and 3 seconds to make up your mind on each. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Unpacking your bags right after a holiday is good.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Oh.
Did it straight away as soon as I got back yesterday.
Go back to holidays, guys.
No, get it done.
No, I don't like staring at it. Every time you walk past it and the bag is in the room and you know it's got dirty washing in it and you know it's a reminder that something has ended. Yeah. I think just put it away.
Wow. It's therapeutic, isn't it? When you like empty the suitcase and you put the suitcase away, that moment where you close the door behind it and you're like, oh.
I've asked a few people around the office already this question and they all were agreeance with me that if you do that, you're a bit...
Well, it's just me and Pete in the corner then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Let it sit there for a while, guys. Don't pack it straight away. Second one, gifting kids mobile phones.
3, 2, 1.
I'm
going to say nay.
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 I mean, who's got the money to gift a kid a mobile phone?
Every kid is gifted a mobile phone. How many kids do you know buy their own mobile phone?
Oh, when you put it like that, you know, I get you. I'm thinking like, happy birthday, here's a mobile phone.
Yeah, they do. My nieces have got newer iPhones than I do. I mean, I know everyone has technology that's newer than mine.
Yes.
But still, yeah. I read an article where Tom Cruise, he was in a movie with Dakota Fanning back in 2005, War of the Worlds, and he gifted her for her 11th birthday a mobile phone.
See, I reckon most kids have a phone by 11 now.
11?
I know. I think it's too young, but I don't know. I'm not a parent. I'm not under the level of pressure that 11-year-olds can put on a parent.
My eldest is almost 8, and there's kids in her class that have mobile phones already. And I whatever. But
do you remember when our parents had no idea where we were?
Yeah.
Like in America. Like they legitimately ran campaigns in America on TV, adverts that said, do you know where your kids are?
Yeah.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your kids are?
Gosh.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because none of us were going home.
That scene from the Simpsons where Homer's on the couch. He's like, for the last time, no. Remember when it was the television know where your kids are?
I didn't know you were relating to that ad.
I was relating to that ad. Oh, my. I was relating to that. Anyway, Tom Cruise giving Dakota Fanning a mobile phone gifting. Yeah. That's weird. As far as I'm concerned, that's weird.
Third topic.
You don't give somebody else's kid a mobile phone.
Third that's topic. Weird. People referencing shows just to be funny.
3, 2, 1.
Now, hang on a second. I wasn't doing it to try and be funny.
Awful.
I just remember that episode from The Simpsons. There's a lot of things I remember from The Simpsons over my time.
God, I was actually talking to my friends about it on the weekend, and I said I can't stand people who reference Seinfeld and Simpsons, and you just did one of them.
Straight away. God.
How good's Seinfeld, though?
Oh,
it's timeless.
Get out.
It's absolutely timeless.
Tell me something from Charmed, Rummy.
Yeah, cop that.
It's not even quotable.
Cop that, Rami. Have that in your ear.
Thanks, Rami. We've missed you.
Love you too.
The Foundation Series from Endeavour Homes is the affordable alternative with premium inclusions. Endeavour Homes, builders of quality.